You open your door, solid wall of jelly. It turns out your whole house is jelly. Where is your cat? In the jelly. Your home is no longer your home.
These new orphans look quite different. They're a lot shorter and more green than I remember. Oh well, I don't look at the poor anyway.
We're on a cannibalism cleanse.
First and foremost, go fuck yourself.
Oh no, this lad looks sick.
Grass is edible if you eat it.
We're gonna do so many scary things.
I would argue that every house has eaten someone.
You start spanking the jelly?
Good evening to only those who know that there's a specific day out of the year that more court cases close than any other day, and that's the day that we're recording this.
Welcome to Genre Blind, a podcast where we break down the cliches that make pop culture purple.
Every episode, we use the random trope feature on TV Tropes to spark discussions about the media therein.
You are contractually obligated to phrase all questions or comments in the form of a compliment. This is a swearing podcast. We both have degrees, and you're just going to have to trust us on this. His name is Diggs Brown.
And her name is Annalie Tominelli. And this is Genre Blind. Listen, come here, listeners. This is the first time that the fact at the beginning has been anecdotal and not something that I can verify with facts and science.
So you...
It was based on how my day today went.
Right.
It's been a long time coming, and today was the day. I did a lot of work.
Yeah. It hits you out of nowhere. Corporate America.
Dude, I fucking
love it. It's coming to grab you.
Corporate energy. Speaking of corporate energy, yeah. It's spooky month. It's time.
Welcome to spooky month. It's officially October. Officially the time for things to get floaty.
Ooh, all the ghosts are out.
Yeah, everything's floating. Not just ghosts, little brooms, and also stars, and also people sometimes.
Are the stars floating, Annalie?
Of course they're floating. Oh, how do you think they stay in space, silly?
What month is June?
Oh, you're gonna do this here? You're gonna do this here in front of God and the listeners right now?
What month is June?
6.
Yeah.
But it did take me that stalling moment to think of it. I open up to you, and you really just drag me through the mud like that. You know, the spookiest thing about spooky season is the betrayal of a friend.
Yeah,
you
welcome
know?
To spooky season, where it's time for goblins and ghouls and getting backstabbed by me.
Diggs recently found out that I don't know the month numbers offhand, because who has time to keep track of that?
Literally everyone. Literally everyone can keep track of it. And if they can't, they have little memory devices that help them do it.
I can look it up.
No.
I can Google it. Oh, memory devices.
When someone says, oh, it's September, I don't have to get out my phone if I can't just be like, oh, 9. I can just be like, oh, 9/11.
So Christmas is on the 25th.
Yes. Christmas Day.
Okay. I just thought that maybe it was the 24th. I wasn't certain. Well, if it was wrong, that would have been...
Christmas Eve is the 24th.
I knew it was somewhere around the 20s. It was the 24th, the 5th, or the 6th. It's the same day every year.
Wrong. It's a different day every year.
That was a question. That was a question mark. That was me being like, it's the same day every year, question mark.
Sometimes it's my birthday and sometimes it's not.
Which means that May... 8th.
Annalie, what day is my birthday?
Probably May. It's definitely in May, because you're a Taurus.
Could also be in April.
No, but I know you're May. I know that you also share a birthday with...
Who do I share a birthday with, Annalie? So that you can Google their birthday and find out when mine is, because you don't know. Your birthday is April 13th, which is Homestuck Day.
See, that's not fair.
And
that's
during
the Homestuck
and
Day.
During Titanic Week.
That's not terribly fair.
I know all my friends' birthdays.
J.M. Barrie.
There you go.
J.M. Barrie.
When's my birthday, Annalie?
I want to say it's May 8th. I really want to say it's May 8th. Am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Am I wrong?
You're wrong.
God damn it.
My birthday's May 9th.
Diggs, listen. I know nobody's birthday at all. At all. But here's the thing. The fact that I got that close... It might not mean a lot to you, but that is high praise coming from me. I can hardly keep Christmas Day in my brain, and yet 24 hours, nay, less than 24 hours.
I would argue that in your life, my birthday is more than the birth of Christ.
In everybody's life, your birthday is more important than the birth of Christ. It's either people know it or they don't.
fair.
Nobody even knows the birth of Christ,
that's
so everybody
true. It was
can
meant
calm
to be the
down.
Fucking summer.
We just like to have cool winter holidays.
Christ was probably a Cancer. Speaking of seasons, do you want to go to the first trope?
Yeah, let's go to the first trope.
So the first trope is going to be Mother Nature.
Wait, hold on. Hot off the presses, right here, Diggs is full of shit. And
what?
Now Annalise taking over.
No.
Yeah, snatched your spot. Whatever fucking trope you had ready.
You would do this to me on my favorite holiday.
We're kicking things off with Annalise taking over the tropes
Fuck
for
you.
This episode. So get ready.
I'm closing
and get
all my
here.
Tabs. I'm not helping.
Get out of your tabs. What, was it going to be Mother Nature?
Yeah, it was going to be Mother Nature.
I hope that nobody was ready to talk about that bullshit, because now instead, the first trope, speaking of full of shit, we've got a sapient house.
Oh my fucking god.
A sapient house is when a house is alive or has a mind of its own. It's pretty much just, you know, the houses that have thoughts, have brains, have souls, have spirits. We all know them. They're a wonderful spooky trope. Whatever walks in them. Walks alone.
I, first and foremost, go fuck yourself. Second and second most, before we spend an hour talking about House of Leaves, House of Leaves is based on Shirley Jackson's The Haunting of Hill House, but then mm-hmm. my favorite horror novel, The Red Tree by Caitlin R. Kiernan, is based on both The Haunting of Hill House and House of Leaves. And when I first yeah. read all three of these books, I read them all at the same time, not knowing this.
Yes.
And so I read all of the House books at the same time.
Incredibly
and just
dense.
Overloaded my noodle with House facts.
And this is, to be clear, this is not like if there is a ghost in a house and then
no.
house becomes haunted house. This is when a house has a soul and a breath.
The house is alive.
And all of those books have to do with the house existing as a character.
The house in blue.
Blue house.
House. The blue
yes.
house. The bear in the big blue house.
Houses are great. Sometimes they eat people. Sometimes they swallow people up. Sometimes they make people do weird things.
I would argue that every house has eaten someone.
I would like to hear you expand on
are
this
Are you
thought.
In a house right now?
I am in a house right now.
Did you not enter through its front opening and then close it behind you and let it contain you?
Yes, it's not digesting me is the only thing
no.
that might separate it from...
If you were to stay there long enough, it would.
That's true. I would get older. And what is digestion but, you know, the bacteria of a place consuming you until you
exactly.
rot. So there is bacteria inside of the house.
Eventually, you would become one with the house and feed into its boards.
That's true. Oh, speaking of which, this is just a side note. We're on a cannibalism cleanse just real fast while we talk about houses eating people. We spoke about cannibalism too many times in the past episode.
The so feedback's now, in. It's a lot.
It was slightly too much cannibalism. So now, every time we mention cannibalism, Diggs is going to put a quarter into a swear jar.
I'm going to do no such thing. Every time we mention it, I'm going to sign up to one more shady forum that's about acquisition.
One more questionable location on the internet. So
in the Muppet Show...
Okay. Yep. Sounds good.
In the Muppet Show, there are these houses that, like, they talk to each other and, like, have conversations with each other.
Mm-hmm.
The houses, I guess, are also, like, technically Muppets because,
what?
Like, they're also, like, puppets.
No, wait, because that actually is kind of Muppet cannibalism, because if the Muppets are being eaten by
Annalise,
house Muppets...
You broke the rule.
I know.
Stop.
I've just made the rule and then I broke the rule.
It never shows the Muppets going into these houses.
What is the function of the houses?
They like tell each other jokes, kind of like they're like, my brother says he has ghosts in his attic.
Do you think houses sometimes have conversations about ghosts, but instead it's kind of like if somebody has herpes or something?
I heard Neeble Street just got ghosts.
Oh my god, that makes so much sense. They had like a neighborhood cookout recently.
That was the first street I thought of. That's the street with the house from It. Shit, that's not what
Shit.
I meant. 25 Burkendine has ghosts.
Nightmare
yeah.
on Elm Street.
That's
not a
not
house.
What happens in Nightmare on
Freddy
Elm Street.
Freddy Krueger haunts
dude.
The dreams. The houses are like, thank God. The Demon Barber of Fleet Street, also not about a street. So
no,
all of these,
that's not.
All of these nice neighborhoods are being dragged through the mud. They're just like, literally, keep our names out of your mouth.
I thought we were going to be like, oh, the Baba Yaga. Like, that's a house.
No, the Baba Yaga rides around in a little mortar and pestle.
Yeah, the house is...
Oh, has the little chicken legs.
What about Howl's Moving Castle?
Oh, yes,
is
wait.
But is it like... Is the house sapient, or does the house just move?
Well, so it's enchanted, but it does, like, spit things out and, like, yawns and changes. But that's, like, Calcifer, the demon inside of the house. I would absolutely think that that counts. Do you think when somebody comes in and, like, cleans a house, the house is happy about it, or, like, mad that people are shuffling its insides
around? I think it depends on the house. I think a lived-in house likes it, but a house that's been abandoned is kind of like when you, like, snatch a feral animal off the street and try and wash it, it's not gonna like that, even though it's good for it.
Yeah.
But if you had kept that animal its whole life and were taking care of it, it would like know what you were doing.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. People pour a lot of heart and soul into houses.
There's also a difference between a house and a dwelling.
Totally.
Because like houses are completely designed to be like lived in or existed in or functioned in, but dwellings aren't necessarily. Like specifically a house is a like a human thing, like we made that.
Yeah,
houses are not like a naturally, like you don't see a house growing in the wild. But you could find a dwelling or a shelter naturally occurring,
or even like if you live in an apartment and don't want to make it your home, you know, if it's just a place to stay. There was this one on my way to church. There was this house kind of over a hill, and it was this grand mansion that somebody had built for their wife, and their wife had died before it was fully finished. So they just let it rot. So it was this like huge, enormous, decaying mansion that we would just drive by every day. And it lit my imagination on fire. What an incredible place, but like so heartbroken that they let this place rot. I'm sure his ghost haunts it.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And like the outside was fully built. I think it was like the inside that wasn't finished.
You know that's bad.
Yeah.
You know that's bad. A house is meant to be lived in, and if a house is specifically made for a specific person to specifically live in, and that person fucking dies, you are so screwed.
Yeah.
You will never financially recover from it.
your career is over.
You've been blacklisted from having a good day ever again.
Never again. Do you want to live in a house one day?
Undecided. Here's my thing, is I love apartment living. Like, I love that everything is just kind of like close and tight and contained, and I can take care of my whole space in like a single day.
Right.
But I also would love to have some designated rooms for things.
That's very fair. That's very,
I hate
very
having
fair.
Everything be in my bedroom.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
What about you?
Oh, similarly, I feel like I want to keep it small. I also feel like I'll be in a city for most of my life. So I also, can I say, I hate grass. I hate grass so much. I hate how we
grass
pay
sucks.
Other people to tend to our grass and destroy the weeds that are, dandelions are medicinal, edible, beautiful yellow flowers that people are like, we got to get them off of our inedible, weird, spiky green grass. That's just a drain on the water. I hate it so much.
I need to contradict you. Mm-hmm. Grass is edible if you eat it.
Grass is edible if you eat it. Want to know what else is edible if you eat it?
Vegetables.
Yeah, just really nice, well-cooked.
Rocks.
Yeah, those two.
Cork.
Pork, yeah.
Cork, like a cork in a bottle.
Oh,
cork.
Yeah, cork, that too, absolutely.
I don't know, the city of Cornwall.
Yeah, those are all edible things, you know? Digs.
Corned beef.
Yeah.
Light bulbs.
Light bulbs, definitely. You know, I think this is a very healthy practice for you, Digs, listing all of these edible things.
Cords, the Geneva Convention.
Tiny moths.
Yeah, small moths.
Them's is catching moths.
Or eatins.
Catching some moths for the eatins. If a spider gets too big, that's an eaten spider.
I hate thinking about biting into things with exoskeletons. It freaks me out.
No, that makes sense. That makes
They're
sense.
They're like stale gushers, and I don't think that's all right.
Oh, you somehow made biting into a bug less appealing than biting into a bug.
Like, think about biting into a gusher, but the gusher is like a hard candy on the outside.
Yeah, that's more upsetting than just me thinking about eating a bug.
Yeah. Like, imagine a ring pop, but the center is jelly.
Is jelly, and it fights you. It fights you with its little limbs.
Yeah, it's flailing.
Teeny limbs. It's mad that it's being crunched. So I'm going to say that this trope, sapient house, is you.
This is a pretty shared ideal, though. We talk a lot about houses that be vibing.
That's fair. Okay. So if we both love houses that be vibing, who is house that be vibing?
I think you are the house, and I am the sad son of a bitch who moves in.
The unfortunate sucker who tried to fix up house.
Would this be the Overlook Hotel, or are we arguing that's not the hotel, that's Jack? Or it's ghosts?
How is it framed? I feel like it's framed as ghosts.
I feel like it depends how you... I'm going to just go purely off of movie here rather than book, because I'm not about to decipher Stephen King on air.
Right. I haven't read the book, so I wouldn't be terribly... I've read a lot of clips from it, and by clips, passages.
Yeah, I'm in the same spot. I've consumed a good portion of it, but not recent enough that I feel like I could speak with any sort of authority. And, like, the movie is a totally different thing. Kubrick's story is a totally different thing. But that's, I would say, more of, like, the cultural zeitgeist of The Shining at this point is going to be the movie.
Right.
I feel like depending on how you watch that film, it's ghosts, or it's Jack, or... it's the Overlook, and it has always been the Overlook, and Jack has always been at the Overlook, and will always go back to the Overlook. And it's just kind of like a self-contained, repeating thing. Whatever walks Hill House walks alone.
Well, so in the movie, I feel like it's Jack. I feel like Jack is the main...
And I think definitely also in the movie, like, because it's Jack Nicholson playing him, I feel like we as an audience go in already with an idea of, like, oh, this dude's, like, fucked. Like, he's off his whatever. And I feel like if you had put someone else in that role, we wouldn't immediately assume, oh, Jack has always been like this. We would kind of be like, oh, the hotel is doing it to him.
Right, yeah.
But then again, casting him, that could then be the intent, right of it's always been.
I like to try and take it at face value. Like, if he's there, then he's supposed to be there for this art. I feel like it kind of counts. Like, I feel like it's its own thing. You know, I feel like it needs to be a little bit more humanoid for it to be full sapient. House.
Yeah, it doesn't exactly twist and shape and influence as much.
Like, there is something about
it. It's more sentient than sapient.
Right.
I feel like it's more like a HAL 9000 than a House of Leaves.
Yeah. Speaking of... Okay, now I do the transitions, so...
Yeah, take it away, Trope Master.
Yeah. So, speaking of following interesting lines of query... Right? Sounds good. As in, like, you know, following... I was thinking House of Leaves. Yeah. Thinking of little fluttery things that flutter in the breeze. How am I doing? Doing good?
Yeah, I believe... This feels totally natural to me.
Yeah, right? I think that... I don't think they noticed. Do you think the audience noticed that we were even moving on to a new trope?
No, I don't think they have, because we haven't yet.
That's fair. We're still in this beautiful segue.
We're still in the house. Segue. Annalie, take me out of this house!
I don't wanna.
Let me out of the house!
Stay.
Pounding on the doors. Let me out.
The next trope is chasing. Follow the butterfly out of the house, Diggs. The next trope.
I followed this butterfly and now I'm out of the house. Where am I?
You're in the trope chasing a butterfly.
Oh, fuck. I'm trapped.
Surprise. So the next trope is chasing a butterfly in a total tone switch. Think children, childlike, curious, easily distracted. So when a cute little creature flutters past them, they're going to follow it out of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
So the small animal usually either ignores them and continues on with its little journey, but it's usually like a curious youth chasing a butterfly.
I feel like this is always such like a nice setup in the beginning of things of like when you want to lead a child to an adventure, you put like a thing for it to go whoop.
Yeah, exactly. Like dating back all the way to like Alice chasing the little rabbit. And that's not directly a butterfly, but you know, children will follow things.
Children love to follow things.
Little adventures to be going on.
Yeah, like it's usually like a fun trope. Like in the beginning of The Lost World, the little girl and her family, they're doing their little picnic and she follows that Percompsognathus Triceracus towards the edge of the woods and then gets attacked by a flock of them and they poison and try and scavenge her body.
Oh. And does she live?
I don't remember.
Oh.
I prefer the book.
Oh. This is the second Jurassic Park.
These little dinosaurs, this is actually, you want to hear the fucked up thing about this? These little dinosaurs, Percompsognathus triceracae, which are my favorite dinosaurs, obviously.
Right.
They're basically like the size of chickens, but with like kind of long tails, and they have no feathers. At least in Jurassic Park, we don't really know in a paleontological sense. But these little motherfuckers, they are scavengers, but they also will go after nearly dead prey, so wounded animals.
Yeah,
and they are very slightly poisonous. So if something is on its way out, they'll start snipping at it and poisoning it and start eating it while it's still alive. And this is in the original book how John Hammond, the guy who makes the parks, dies, because he twists his ankle and he's like limping his way up a hill, and a herd of the Percompsognathus triceracae get at him and start snipping, and he gets dizzier and dizzier and dizzier, and they kill and eat him. And then they open up, that's what happens in the book, and then they open up the second movie with this little girl following.
And they're the size of chickens.
They're like the size of chickens, but they've got sort of like long tails.
Yeah.
So like their tails probably extend. Imagine like a chicken, but its tail kind of comes off it like a cat, where it like really extends its body. But
yeah. Kind of like a peacock.
Yeah. But they've got these little, like, whippy, skinny tails.
Yeah. How many... are they, like, piranhas?
No. They're just scavengers.
Ugh.
But they know that their bite is slightly venomous, and they can use it to, like, incapacitate prey.
They help you along.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They're shepherds. Shepherds to death. He was just like, I twisted my ankle. I'll be fine. They're like, no, you should sit down. No, I think I'm fine, really, truly. I think I've got some, like, gaff tape. I can fix this right on up. No.
No, Mr. Hammond, why don't you just take a seat with us? Why don't you just hang out.
Just hang out.
You've done enough.
Thank you very much for stopping by. Would you follow one of these?
They are my favorite dinosaur. I 100% would.
Yes! Oh, amazing. You just have to...
I think they're cute.
What if
I think they're sweet.
What if you do follow one and it mistakes you for somebody who's ill? Would you be insulted?
No, I'd be like, fair enough.
they see you, they're like, oh no, this lad looks sick.
Diggs, what caused you to suddenly start eating super healthy and get into shape? Well, I got a pretty bad diagnosis while I was out in Costa Rica.
These little dinosaurs mistook me for someone dying. They thought I was ill and thought I would be easy target. But I will not.
I would love to release a little flock of Percompsis Dragonathus triceracae into a Victorian foundling hospital. And watch those little boys just skitter.
What exactly is it?
Basically, when like a parent couldn't take care of their child, they would like leave them there with a little token. So if they ever came into more money, they could go back and like claim the child, because they could prove it's theirs and like take it back.
Gosh.
But usually they just kind of got dumped there. A lot of the tokens are like buttons or a ring or like, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they gave the kids like one of their more valuable items. So if they could never pick the kid up, they at least had something to sell later in life.
Right.
But one that really fucks me up was basically this like folded up piece of paper that a mom left with her kid that was like, this piece of paper is literally all I have. And if you choose not to come back to me and choose something better, I understand. And it's like, that is like a way toned down version of this thing, because I can't think about it too much or I will full force start crying like I did in the middle of the museum.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to release these fucking chickens in there.
Why?
Because these little sick boys, there's nothing they could do.
You want the chickens to eat the sick lads.
That, or they'll make great friends with these little dinosaurs and they'll go after capitalists with their dinosaurs.
Maybe the little ill boys will take to the streets and learn what they learned from these dinos and just nip at the heels of the petticoats walking by.
The boys will hit capitalists in the back of the knee, and then the dinosaurs will be like, oh shit, that guy's down, and start snipping.
And the other capitalists walking by are just like, oh no, should we help him? They're like, no, leave him. In nature will take its
survival
course.
Survival of the fittest.
We must keep going.
These new orphans look quite different. They're a lot shorter and more green than I remember. Oh well, I don't look at the poor anyway.
I don't pay attention to the poor. Wow.
I've not looked at a boy in many years. Ah, that's what they look like now. Fascinating.
Interesting tales. Perhaps I should check on my son.
Hmm. Margaret, have I got... Oh, we have a daughter. Ah, not a son. No tail.
You've got a daughter, mister. You haven't spoken to her for 3 years.
Ah. Right. Because she betrayed me.
She betrayed me. She joined the murder chickens.
She wrote one of those newspaper articles about those boys delivering paper.
Write what you know, so they say.
I don't know what to write or the right way to write it.
That's him singing. It's his reprise.
Yeah.
It's redemption arc. Buy what you want, so they say. All I know is I don't know what to buy or the right way to buy it.
Santa Fe.
What if every single time... Oh, wait. Damn it. Speaking of somebody who is a goofy... So speaking of if you took a villain who is also a capitalist and then he was evil, but he was a little bit goofy. Speaking of that, the next trope is fashion.
Hey, hold on. Mm-hmm. Who is that last trope?
I know. That's why I was so tripped up, because I was like, I don't know how to transition these well. But I saw my window and I took it. This last one following chasing a butterfly, I'm going to say...
This is not me.
I'm going to say, unfortunately, it might be me. I get easily distracted by...
Which of us has played Alice?
I have played Alice. I get distracted by shiny things. It's an occupational hazard of being blonde. But sometimes my thoughts flitter, and I just gotta snitch them. But sometimes I mistake a butterfly for my thoughts. Oh, also, one of my favorite movies in the world called
She
The
Says,
Fall.
Providing an example.
One of my favorite movies in the world is called The Fall, and one of the characters in this magical story is named Charles Darwin, but right. No relation. But they're trying to find Americana Exotica, and it's this butterfly, and the monkey runs after it to grab it and gets completely shot and killed. It's this big, sad death scene, but he found the butterfly in the end because he was chasing after the butterfly the whole time. It's one of those movies that gets me every time. It, like, makes me ugly cry. Yeah. Whenever I watch it. The Fall. Everybody remember it. The Fall. It's so good.
The Fall. Oh, it's, you know what we didn't talk about with chasing butterflies? We're what? Fucking dumb. In Repo, the genetic opera, Shiloh chases that fucking bug outside, and that's how she meets Grave Robber.
How the hell did we miss this? It's spooky season, Diggs. We should be doing better.
Happy spooky season, everyone. Shiloh, happy the little girl season. From Spy Kids, chased a bug.
That is 100% this trope. Oh my god, I can't believe we missed it.
I must be quick.
It's amazing.
And I would argue later, when she follows Grave Robber out to the Zydrate convention, he's also a butterfly.
He's also the butterfly.
He shows up and she's like, "You're real?"
Yeah, right, exactly.
Duh.
That scene has one of the weirdest editing jumps that I've ever seen, and I watched it
Oh my god.
Three times. She, like, it's one of those, like, she starts mid-sentence, she's like, "To get me in trouble." And I'm like, "What?" That wasn't a sentence. It's great.
It really reminds me always of that one bit in Rocky Horror when, for no reason, Brad's audio is just different on the, "Could we use your phone?"
Yes! Oh my god. All of these, like, eyes bigger than their stomach cult classics, like Repo and, like, Rocky Horror, where just, like, there are a few little things that snuck through, and you know it's not a real movie.
Yeah. It's one of those times where you're like, someone sat down and edited this.
Yeah, exactly. Which also, by the way, Rocky Horror Picture Show is owned by Disney, which means Dr. Frankenfurter is officially a Disney princess.
That means he's from Transsexual Transylvania. He could go to the Galactic Federation in Lilo and Stitch.
Hell yeah, he could. He's probably already been there.
Wait, hold on. We might not get to another trope, because I need to say something real quick. Okay. That means, does Lilo... Hold on. Does Lilo and Stitch... No, I'm going somewhere.
No, you got this. You got this. I believe in you.
Does Lilo and Stitch exist in the real world? Like, is that the Earth? Like, is that real life?
No, Diggs. That's Hawaii. Okay. It doesn't exist on Earth. That's called Hawaii. Okay.
Okay, listen.
Yes, sorry. Continue on your train of thought. Yes, it exists on real life.
Okay, so if we assume that Lilo and Stitch takes place in, like, our world, which I'm going to assume it does because, like, everyone is surprised about aliens,
sure.
Right? Let's just, for the sake of argument, and in this world, we're going to also say that, like, Disney or its, like, counterpart franchise would, like, exist. But then also in this universe, because it's owned by Disney, Rocky Horror would be canon, right?
Right, right.
So Frankenfurter, who looks and sounds like Tim Curry, is there.
Yes.
Also canon in Lilo and Stitch is Donut Alien, which was just a renaming of Skippy,
right,
from Extraterrestrial Alien Encounter.
Right.
And Skippy's antagonist is a robot named Sir, voiced by Tim Curry.
Yeah.
What does this mean?
It means that when they kill Frankenfurter at the end, they just took his consciousness and put it into...
To be mean to Skippy forever.
So,
Skippy doesn't deserve this.
So now, unfortunately, Frankenfurter is not only in a personal hell because, I mean, who would want to be Sir for the rest of their life, but also is mean to Skippy forever.
Tim Curry, I love you, but why are you mean to Skippy like that? He didn't do anything wrong.
I don't know. Tim Curry can be mean to whoever he wants.
I wish I were Skippy.
I wish Tim Curry would be mean to me.
I wish I were in the Beauty and the Beast holiday special so that Tim Curry could be a pipe organ and yell at me.
I want any of Tim Curry's incredibly sensual, slimy villains to yell at me, please.
The Cat Returns?
Oh no, God. Like from The Cat Returns. Like from Fern Gully.
I want to fuck Tim Curry, just in general, but in Muppets Treasure Island.
Of course. You want to fuck Hook and Tim Curry.
No, he's not Hook in that. He's Long John Silver.
Long John Silver. Sorry. I get the two
confused.
No,
I do not.
Because they're very similar.
No, Long John Silver, he was only ever afraid of Hook, according to J.M. Barrie.
I love Long John Silver, can I say?
I know you do.
I love Long John Silver so much.
Yeah, because you want to fuck Robert Louis Stevenson and all of his cool men.
All of his swanky chaps. Speaking of villains that are dressed in a flouncy, flamboyant way, the final trope is going to be fashion victim villain, which means that it is when a supervillain is like on the cusp of revealing their plan, they're ready to go, they're changing into their final battle gear, and it's rather goofy looking. Think Megamind when he dresses in all of those spikes sort of thing. But also,
I think
that this can just apply to any kind of gently goofy looking villain, any antagonist that looks a little bit not put together in the very end. So Hook wouldn't count for this because Hook always looks great.
Hook looks great. That's his whole deal.
That's his whole deal.
He looks extremely good all the fucking time.
Hey, Diggs, sorry, can you talk a little bit more on that?
No, I can't, actually.
You seem to be rather adamant about that point.
No, I need it to be clear that he's not in this trope. You know who is in this trope?
Who?
I'm going to issue a spoiler warning. We usually don't do this, but I'm going to issue a spoiler warning because this movie came out a couple weeks ago.
Ooh.
Have you seen Malignant?
No, I haven't, but I have to. Oh, darn it. I'm so mad that I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, I won't say too much then. I'll do this without doing spoilers. First of all, what I would like to say about Malignant, before I get into why it applies to this trope, is I am not unsettled by a lot of horror. I'm kind of like at that point where like it's so much more of like an art thing and like a playing around thing, and it's not scary. I forget that horror is like sometimes scary. And there's a couple images and a couple scenes and like actions in Malignant that actually like got me. I was like, oh yeah, horror is good.
Horror is alive.
Holy shit, this is incredible. However, Malignant is one of the goofiest things I've ever seen.
I've heard that people are like, I can't tell if it's bad or good.
Yeah, that's the thing. I can't tell if it deserves an Oscar or a Razzie. I mean, it doesn't deserve an Oscar, but it's like, I can't tell if this is like a good film or not.
I gotta watch it
soon. It's great. Just don't look up anything about it. The reason I think this trope applies is they do a really good job with a spookum in it of they don't show everything. They just show like movements and it's really good and really effective. It's scary. And then they show them fully. And like, the face is fine. The fit. The fit is dumb. It's silly.
I love that.
It's kind of like the ridiculous spell. The ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous,
in,
yeah.
In Harry Potter.
They look like someone did just a fucking bad job at Matrix cosplay.
God. See, that makes me so happy because you know somebody was like, all right, now it's time. I'm going to make the thing. I'm going to reveal the thing. It's going to be scary. And I bet you it is really scary to whoever thought it up.
If I saw this fucking thing in my house, I would scream and cry.
Of course. Of course. That's how all horror, the majority of horror, I'm just like, not bad. But if I saw it in my house, I would absolutely freak out.
Then again, if I saw just like a guy look at me weird in public, I would scream and cry.
For how much horror I love, and don't get me wrong, spooky season is great. If my door slammed at the wrong point, I'd be like, well, I'm moving. I'm leaving now. It would take so little to unhinge me in real everyday life. Mm. A person could walk up to me on the street and say like, boo, and I'd think about it for the rest of the day.
Oh, 100%. No, it would never go away. A week later, I would be like, I hope no one says boo to me while I'm outside.
Exactly. Like, listen, we talk a big game. The moment something like mildly unsettling happens, I'm like, well, this is the worst thing.
I'm thinking about this now. This applies less to like creatures and entities for me, I think. If a guy was like, ooh, in public, I would be like, I'm never leaving my house again. But yeah. If I were in public and I just saw like the Cloverfield monster, I would be like, well,
you'd be like, that's, fuckery.
That's how my week is going. Yep, all right, here I go. Like, I think I would be okay.
I think with monsters in that sense, like the monsters that one could bonk hard enough with a plank of wood, it's mm-hmm. different. I mean, I know that it wouldn't do a whole lot, but at least you could give it your old college try. Ghosts are a little bit different for me because you can't do much with them, specifically like hitchhiking ghosts or whatever. But you know how I act in a ghost situation, and I know how you act in a ghost situation.
You've seen me. I tried to hit a ghost with an iron bar, but also we thought it might have been a raccoon or something. And I was holding an iron poker to go see it.
Yeah, I've got all the incense, I've got all the rocks, I've got all the space cleansers, but like the moment a thing actually appears and says, hello, none of that worked, I'm like, well, I'm out of ideas.
Now, if that had been like a folk, like if I had like gone and it wasn't a gonst or the air conditioner or whatever, like if I went and there was like a man standing there, like a man who like could say hello, I would impale myself on my poker and that would be it.
See, no, I would much prefer there, but I mean, Do not get me wrong. Super don't want to see a man in my house. Would hate it so bad.
I hate it when men are in my house.
But at the end of the day, like even the craziest human being, it does go down with one or two bonks. I mean, the scary movies and stuff make people seem a lot more indestructible than they are. And don't get me wrong, we're durable. But like,
we're
you get hit by one rock and you're like concussed at least, you know? Mm-hmm. Like you fall the wrong way and you bite your cheek and it's the worst thing in the world for the rest of the day.
I feel like though a ghost has earned it. I think like if a ghost comes into my house, the ghost has like earned whatever it's gonna do. Some guy has not earned that.
That's so
true. And so that becomes scarier to me because the man is like, oh, I'm going to lose. Something bad is going to happen and I'm going to lose. But with a ghost, it's kind of like, I mean, it's gonna do what it's gonna do. Like, I can't really worry about it because it's just gonna...
Yeah, there's not a whole lot. It. I also think, I feel like we're meaner to ghosts than, you know, I feel like they're generally fine. I think they're generally just a little bit unsettling and they don't want to hurt you.
I mean, like, the only, like, full body apparition, like, not, like, entity or tulpa or whatever, but the only, like, full body apparition that I've seen was, like, mine is fucking business.
Yeah, straight up. Usually they do. Usually they straight up mind their business.
Yeah, she was Jay chilling.
Yeah.
She just, like, left.
Yeah.
Now, if you were a dude in this house, you would not have left.
Right.
You would have attacked me.
Yeah. Dudes in houses when they should not be in houses only have bad things in brain.
Men should not be allowed in houses.
Men shouldn't be. Hey, houses are for not men. Why are the men always in the
Remind
houses?
Remind me of your gender again.
Remind me of
That's
your gender
right.
again.
This is a girl.
This is a girl thing. Houses, a girl thing. Step stools, a girl thing. Slides, a girl thing. Chicken, a girl thing.
Chicken is for girls?
Chicken is for girls.
Like
so
that
is...
little girl who followed the little chicken dinosaur into the woods and got...
Yeah. That was honestly such a girl boss moment.
I really believed in girl power when the T-Rex roared at the end.
When the T-Rex roared at the end. You know that was just such a girl boss moment.
Girl boss.
Honestly.
Actually, you know what is a girl boss moment? All those female, biologically female dinosaurs just deciding they were bored and finding a way to fuck each other and lay eggs.
Straight up. Straight up. There are multiple organisms that do that are just like...
frog DNA.
Oh my god. It's so... I love it. Like, jellyfish reproduce sexually and asexually, and then mushrooms just change their gender whenever they fucking want. They just don't give a shit. All of these things that are just like, gender ain't real. Fuck it up. Like, it's your birthday. Who cares?
Yeah.
I love them. I love them all so much. Wouldn't want those in my house either. Jellyfish.
A jellyfish?
Yeah, just imagine your house filled head to toe with big jellies.
I would not be afraid of a jellyfish in my house because I feel like the much worse thing is like, how did the jellyfish get here? Not that the jellyfish is there.
No, Diggs. I want you to picture this scenario right here.
Okay.
You open your door. Mm-hmm. Solid wall of jelly. You try and get around it, but you're gonna have to go through that jelly. You slurp through the jelly. It turns out your whole house is jelly. Who put them there? How did they get there? How did those fish get there?
You
don't know.
That's the more pressing question. Who put them there?
But now you can't get to your stuff. Where is your cat?
Oh,
in the jelly.
Eating jellyfish.
So now, what do you do then? What do you do in this scenario?
Start slapping.
You start spanking the jelly?
Yeah, I feel like it would make a really satisfying...
Yeah, that's all well and good. I guess so.
I've been stung by 4 different jellyfish. I got my shots. I'm immune.
Diggs, your home is no longer your home in this scenario.
I would call my landlord. I would probably call my landlord.
Be like, hey, these fuckers paying rent or what?
Hey, bestie, what the... Dude, there's a bunch of fish in my house. Yeah, Diggs, you have a fish tank. No, not like that.
No, it's worse. Your roommate's fully encased in jelly.
Your roommates are jellyfish.
Your roommates, they turned out to be jellyfish the whole time.
Annalie, yes? Your roommate is your sister. What would you do if one day your sister was like, Annalie, I got you a surprise, and then she just unzips her skin and an unknowable quantity of jellyfish just flop out onto the floor, and that's who you've lived with your entire life?
Oh my god, I think...
And then you feel something inside you move.
And it turns out I've been a jellyfish the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh my god. The thing is, don't get me wrong, would be alarmed, but something would feel just so correct about it too.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh.
Oh, that's why. I see now. And I would give myself over to the sweet abyss of jelly consciousness.
The sweet fish.
Let me become one with the fish. And just like how you can become one with the fish, you can also become one with us.
Just like you can follow the butterfly, you can follow us at Genreblind Podcast on Instagram, at AnnieDTR, and at MomentumMortSafe, both of those last two on both Instagram and TikTok. You can email us at genreblindpodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions, comments, concerns, issues, tropes, or suggestions. We're going to be doing some stuff this month.
It's spooky season.
If all else fails, I'll just be posting some blood-soaked nonsense to the Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Diggs, who's the fashion victim villain? It's you. Surprise. Keep moving.
Yeah. I look bad all the time, and I cause problems.
No, it's great, and you look great, but boy howdy, a villain.
No, that would be the thing. I would become a super villain, and then I would be like, it's my time to shine, and that day I would be like, I don't really feel like putting on like a whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna wear like fucking whatever, and then I'm gonna look like an idiot.
Yeah, so stay tuned for this lovely holiday season. We're going to be absolutely getting into your blood with our frights.
We're gonna say all sorts of scary things like, I enjoy romantic comedy. That's not even true. I don't enjoy romantic comedies.
Yeah, I don't enjoy romantic comedies. Like
we're gonna watch a romantic comedy.
Oh God, Jesus Christ!
We're gonna
Christ.
Watch straight people interact. Oh, there's a siren.
Woo! We're gonna do so many scary things. Ready?
Boo!
Boo! Did we scare ya? Did we get ya? Hey, Diggs, I think we totally fucking got them. I think they jumped in their pants.
I think they got really scared.
I think they freaked out. This is now officially a haunted ride.
Jump scares abound.
So if we're gonna be transitioning to the end, so speaking of Jump scares
I still have
abound.
A scar from a jellyfish.
So speaking of jellyfish and scars, have you ever think about how maybe Scar is an incel?